You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Wait, wait, wait.
Before we start, just want to make sure we're clear here. While this podcast talks about sobriety, mental health, and addiction, it is not meant to replace professional medical advice.
Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety.
I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're ex-sisters-in-law, brought together in marriage and bonded through our sobriety journey.
Join us as we talk sobriety, addiction, and everything in between. You're in for quite a ride. And our Substack is buzzing with amazing content, from creative mocktail recipes to insightful courses and reflective exercises. There is something for everyone. Don't miss out. It's a great way to add some extra joy and depth to your journey. Check it out. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety and to our series, The Truth About Sober Dating, Sex, and Relationships, where we ask our guests 10 burning questions about dating, sex, and everything in between. Today, we have Hillary Scheinbaum, the brilliant mind behind GoingDry.co. And Going Dry is a platform that revolutionizes how we view and experience socializing without alcohol. So Hillary, tell us a little bit about your relationship status.
I just got married. Yes.
11 days ago.
Excited in the newlywed phase right now.
And what is your dating history?
My dating history in terms of like drinking and dating, I think every first date for a really long time used to be like grabbing a drink. Yeah. And that definitely changed around, you know, January 2017. And I started, you know, dating differently, like going and doing like rock climbing or like going to a Barry's bootcamp class or something else that was fun and engaging, but didn't center alcohol.
The first question, do you remember your first sober date and tell us everything?
Well, I can tell you, I remember my first sober date with my husband. We went to Barry's bootcamp. And then afterwards we went to a restaurant in the city in New York in, it's called Westville. And we just like, I remember I like got a salad. I don't remember what he got, but it was just like nice and cool. And like, it was something that I would have done on my weekend anyway, you know, to go and work
you
out.
You went to Barry's and sweat then went to lunch with him. I would have died.
Honestly, I feel like this was, you know, not just like a pattern in like sober dating, but even before then, I think by like the third or fourth date, I would typically take a guy to Barry's just to see if he could like, not to like challenge him in a way that you keep up with me, but you know, truth be told, like that's a big part of my life and my lifestyle. And so it was almost kind of like to just see if, you know, this person would want to participate in the same things that I did during the weekends.
That makes sense. Yeah, I agree. Okay. Number two, what's your go-to response when someone asks, why aren't you drinking?
Oh, I mean, at this point, a lot of people know about like my books and, but often I'm just like, yeah, I'm not drinking tonight. Like just don't want to, not in the mood. If people keep pushing, it's not really a conversation I engage in. So I often change the subject. Yeah.
Okay. Number three, let's talk about flags. So what is a green flag you look for now that you wouldn't have noticed before, for example, if you were drinking more on a date?
Yeah, I think honestly, having somebody who can plan a date that, again, does not center around alcohol. I think also if there was a bar involved, picking a place that has non-alcoholic options, because there are so many these days. It's so funny, I had Mionetto alcohol removed at our rehearsal dinner, just because like, I wanted to be able to, you know, raise a glass and toast with something bubbly and sparkly. And so some of our guests were drinking non-alcoholic sparkling wine, and some of them were drinking the Mionetto with alcohol in it, just depending on what their lifestyle entails.
I love that. Okay, what is a red flag you used to ignore that's a deal breaker for you now?
Oh, just anybody who was like questioning my choices about what I was drinking or what I was not drinking, I should say, because I think that what you consume is so personal, and it was definitely not something that was like affecting them, that I was pushing on them. So if they had a problem with it, that was just a no brainer for me. I was like, you're not my person. If you're not going to respect this, like I ran the New York City Marathon. Like, are you going to support my training and running 26.2 miles? Like, you know what I mean? So yeah.
Did you meet your husband after you kind of started moderating your drinking or before?
No, I actually met him because of that, because I met him, I went on Good Morning America to promote my book, and I went to go like film a TikTok for Good Morning America afterwards. And it happened to be in the office that his sister works in, and he was visiting her at work that day. And so he just saw me in the office, and it was a completely like by chance sort of thing. I had known his sister for almost a decade, but we live in different places. Like, she lives in New Jersey, I live in New York, and you know, we were always friendly, but didn't hang out on a regular basis. So yeah, that's how we met. I wouldn't have met my husband had it not been for, you know, peeling back the drinking.
That's so funny, because the next question was, how has sobriety changed your love life, or how is not drinking, and that you met your husband because you were not drinking?
Yeah, I think what's funny, I don't want to speak for him, but I will speak for him. He says that, you know, since we started dating, he's drank a lot less. And I believe it, because when you don't have somebody who you're drinking with, often you just don't. Or, you know, we're doing other things, really. But it's interesting. I definitely have opened him up to like a lot of non-alcoholic beverages. And so like, there are times where if he'll order something that's alcoholic and I'll ask the bartender to make something that's different, I'll compare the two. Like, I'll take a sip of his, but I'll like drink mine. And I've taken over his bar cart with like bottles of like Flu Air and free spirits and all that fun stuff. So yeah, I don't know if that answers it, but.
Yes, that does. And then other than berries, what's a go-to sober date activity that you can suggest?
Actually this past weekend we took city and we rode bikes all the way to, like, it was like an hour bike ride to a barbecue place in Brooklyn. So yeah, I think just like getting outside, being active, like exploring your interests. I mean, that could be museums, that could be just taking a walk or going to dinner, you know, participating in an art class. There's so much to explore.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
I love that. Okay, this is a good one. I needed this advice. What is your advice for someone who's going on their first date without a drink? I needed that advice because I did do that and it was shocking.
Yeah, good for you. Well, I think the first and foremost is like confidence. I think that just being able to say like, I'm not drinking right now, and really kind of sticking to, you know, what you're saying is really important, and not wavering. And I think just understanding that like that person who is receiving this information, if they're not accepting it, then they're not going to be your person, and that's okay. I also think that there are some really great apps like Reframe that has helped almost a million people like curb their drinking. And so I think it's really, you know, exploring something that is so easy to download and in the palm of your hand at any time to have that extra support when you don't have your close friends there.
Oh, I love that. I didn't even think about that, having the support like on your phone.
Yeah, like just having like tips and tricks and just being able to, you know, open something up wherever you are, really.
Yeah. Okay. How much are you comfortable with your date or your partner drinking? So where is your limit? Mine is, if somebody has more than two drinks, that's like my limit of like, I think we're not going to be, it's not a match.
Yeah. I think it kind of depends on the situation and the person. I think like if it is a Wednesday night and somebody is ripping shots at the bar, that's going to be uncomfortable no matter what. I think if there's a celebration or if it's like you're outside for a really long time and, you know, people are drinking and having fun, but not going overboard, I think like everybody has different limits. And so I would say like in general, just being able to like observe people and notice like when they've had too much is like, is okay. I don't know if there's a number. I think for some people that might be, you know, two drinks. I think for some people that might be like a half a glass of wine. For some people that might be three, but definitely not getting in a car with somebody who has been drinking, and really preventing them from doing so too.
Yeah, but you're right. It is an environmental thing and a time and place thing. So if someone is doing shots on a Wednesday at dinner, no.
Time to go.
Yeah, but if somebody is at like, if he's at a bachelor party and he has like four drinks,
And as long as they're hydrating in between, I mean, like, you know.
Okay, let me rephrase my limit. Then would be two at a dinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that makes sense to me.
Okay. So if your love life had a playlist, what is the first track?
Oh my God. I don't know. Maybe like all of Taylor Swift's like music period. I don't know. Like I just depends. That's a wow. I'm going to have to think about it.
Yeah. Okay. Think about it. Get back to me. Okay. Who do you call after a first date to dish with or vent with after a fight with your partner?
Oh, I think it's so funny. I think there is usually like a group text situation. Okay, for first date, I would say my friend Victoria has always been the first one to be like, I'm like, oh, I met someone. And she'd be like, oh, it's so fun. And like, you know, we've been friends for over a decade. So I think that historically it's Victoria. I think if there is a fight happening, it's definitely a group chat situation because a lot of the times I'm like, am I out of line? Is he out of line? Like, are my friends dealing with this with their partners as well? I kind of want to like gauge the situation and just make sure that maybe I missed something or maybe like I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think we don't fight, but like if we have a disagreement, I think it's typically something that there's some kind of miscommunication. So I think that the group chat is the best place for that.
I totally agree. So I have like two teenage nieces and two sister-in-laws that I will group chat. And it's surprising sometimes like how emotionally intelligent the teenagers are. Mm-hmm. They're very like open communication focused. And mm-hmm. And then I noticed like my sister-in-laws are not, like, we'll just sit there and guess like what somebody was thinking or what their deal is. And so it is really nice to have like a variety of people of different ages, I think.
Yeah.
And also if you ask a guy friend, usually their opinion's totally different.
That's accurate. it's pretty wild.
Yeah. Okay. Fill in the blank. I used to think love was blank. Now I know it's blank.
Oh,
take your time.
I think I used to think that it was a lot of excitement, like all the time. And not to say that it isn't, but I think that there's definitely like more of a sense of calm and consistency. Yeah, I think that's
huge. Yeah, you're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that also, I think it has to do with like maturity, but also when you're drinking too, right? Everything's just like chaos and wild and you're like having fights you don't remember. And it's like, that's not it.
No, it's not. Mm-mm.
All right. Do you want to go back to the first track?
I don't know.
I know. Mine changes.
Yeah. I'm like,
but Taylor Swift is a good, that's like definitely a good place to start.
I feel like she covers a lot of area.
She really does. Yeah. She's like, from happy to like sad, from like jealous to angry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those were our 10 questions. Thank you so much, Hillary, for coming on to answer them.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you again.
This was Sisters in Sobriety.
Thank you for listening and being with us today.
If you want to learn more about sobriety and meet your community, find us at sistersinsobriety.substack.com.
Are you a sister in sobriety? Then reach out on social media. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're feeling generous, leave us 5 stars and a review and follow us wherever you listen.
You'll never miss an episode. Until next time.